I want to talk to you today about your life. That was funny. Somebody said, uh-oh. Okay, so here's my question. Let me start off with a question. How you doing? I used to have a friend at my old church, and he was kind of a self-righteous guy, and I probably wasn't living as holy life as I should have. And he'd ask me, he'd come up to me and say, "Hey, Drew, how you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm doing good. And then he'd go, "No, but how you really doing?" I feel like I was doing fine till you came around. Now I'm want to strangle you. I want to ask you today, how you doing? I want to ask it like this, not in a self-righteous way, but to be honest with you, how many think that you could be doing better than you're doing now? Now, that means a lot of things to different people. Some people, it's like, man, I am far from God. I barely got in here today. And I'm just floundering. For other people, you're doing better. You just recognize how many know there's always a better. But I want to be very honest with you and look at some passages that are going to help you. How many came to church to get helped? Okay. How many know that to get helped, sometimes we are confronted with actions that we're doing? I say it all the time. You know what? Good choices, good life. Because there's so many people in the victim society, victim mentality that we live in, that people just won't take responsibility for their life. And they think, you know what, let me tell you why my life is jacked up. And they've got all these reasons. You know what, my dad, my mom, my dad wasn't around, my mom was this, and my sisters were really an issue, and my brother, and you know what I mean, and you know, my second grade, my teacher flunked me, and all this stuff. Okay. Just, you know, in second grade, my teacher flunked me. And we'll even use those terms. In second grade, my teacher flunked me. Well, maybe it could, I'm not trying to get in your face, but could it be that she flunked me because I was special. I needed some special. Very special. All I'm saying is, many times we need to look at our life in a negative way, but a way that we would move forward. And to move forward, sometimes we have to get in grips with maybe we're not doing some things like we could do. And all I'm suggesting at the very start is, yes, I want you to evaluate some things today. And I want you to have a willingness. How many will be willing to evaluate your life today and recognize that God is not against you, he's for you. Amen. And one of the ways that he is for you is to go, hey, you know, it's kind of like when I first taught Megan to drive, you know, she would hug the right-hand curve all the time, and she'd get real close and say, hey, Megan, you know what, you got to get more center, okay? Well, I was saying that as a loving dad, not as a critical dad. Does that make sense? All right. So we'll set that as a foundation. But I want to talk to you today about and show you something in the Word of God, and I want you to pay close attention with how many verses that I'm going to use today, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand. This is coming straight, even though my dog chewed this, this is coming straight from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So the sermon title, and I want you to write this down, is which way are you steering your boat? Which way are you steering your boat? My first point, and I want you to write this point down, is this. Your life can't go north if you're steering it south. Your life cannot, somebody say cannot. It cannot go north if you're steering it south. Now, notice, now I'm not talking about a boat, now I'm talking about your life. And here's what I want to set as a premise for you today. But again, don't judge me until you look at all the passages of Scripture that I'm going to use. How many know what I'm saying is you steer your life with your words. You steer your life with your words. Now, again, it doesn't really make a difference what I think, but it does make a difference what the Word of God says. How many believe that? So I want to show it to you in the Word of God that you would see clearly that this is true. Turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and we're going to start, we have it up on the screen. We're going to start with verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in, what's that next word there? In word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Now watch this, next verse. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they might obey us, and we turn the whole body, their whole body. How many ever rode a horse? Okay. Why does that horse turn the direction you tell it to? Because there's this bit in its mouth, and you turn and you take those reins and you turn it a certain way, and when that horse head turns this way, his whole body turns that way. And you're able to direct that horse. That huge horse is directed by a relatively small bit in his mouth. Now pay attention, because I want you to see in context. How many know he's using a illustration of a small thing that can direct your whole life? How many know Paul's point isn't, he's not trying to teach you about horses right here. Okay, watch this. Next verse. Look also at ships. Let me tell you what, God is so clear in this subject. So clear in this subject. Gives another example. Look at also ships. Although they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned, everybody say turned, by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Here's the thing. If you look at a ship, if you looked at the rudder compared to the ship, how many know it's pretty small? But that rudder, even though it's very small, it directs that ship wherever, watch this, the pilot desires. Amen. Come on. See, it's time that we stop thinking that we can't control the direction of our life. Because the Bible doesn't teach that you're just dust in the wind. Hello? See, the Bible doesn't teach that. The world teaches that. You know what? And there's some religious people who don't understand some concepts in the Bible, and they say, well, you know what? God just does. No. Let's read what the Bible says. I like this one portion of the Bible, and God says, you know what? I know the plans I have for you. See, he getting tired of people, you know what, talking about, you know what, about God's not a good God. And he's get tired of it. And he says, let me tell you what, I know the plans I have for you. They are not for destruction. Listen, God gives us all kinds of choices. He says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose this day that you and your descendants might live. might have this quality of life. You choose what direction you're going to go. This person, this pilot directs, even though the ship is big, he directs it, but he directs it with a very small rudder. The horse is directed by a very small bit. Now watch this. I know sometimes it's important to go through details so people understand how clear this is and how real this is. Look at this next verse. Even so, somebody say even so. What's even so? Even so is this transition. He's giving you an example. He's giving you another example. Now he's going to say what he's really teaching. Even so, as a little member, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Well, what's that talking about? That's talking about the trash that you can create in a family by somebody who won't shut his mouth. Come on, we just got done with Thanksgiving. Don't look at me like you don't know what you're talking about. You know what? How many have somebody? Well, don't raise your hands. Okay. But there's people, I know you know this, there's people in your family and they don't understand. They just have, they're gossipers. They're busybodies. How many know a busybody? And they've got some opinion to say about something, and they talk about this and talk about that. Half the time, they have no idea what they're talking about. And even if they know what they're talking about, they ought to shut up. You could say amen to that. And they're causing a big mess. And they're causing that big mess by something relatively small. It's their tongue. It's their mouth. Amen. Look at this next verse. Let's go on. And the tongue is a fire. Man, makes a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members and defiles the whole body and sets on course. Defiles the whole body. How many want to have a bad life? But if you don't get control of the tongue, even though you want to go one direction, if you can't, if you won't, say it that way. If you won't control your tongue, let me tell you what's going to happen. You can go the wrong direction. You'll be like, I don't understand. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. I always go out with losers. Well, see, you don't even know. Because right in that comment, why don't you say this? Man, I'm a godly woman. Yes. Amen. And I used to go out with losers. I ain't going out with losers anymore. Can I just give y'all a hint? Okay. You might not find a lot of righteous people in the honky-tonks. I'm just saying. See, but right away you're using your tongue to steer the wrong direction. And you don't even know what's going on. And James says, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. There's this defilement of the whole body. That's right. Look, I don't even know. I don't even want to go that direction. Well, okay. Then you've come to the right place today. Watch this. And sets on fire the course of nature. Your tongue sets this course, the nature, the where you're going to go in your life. The course is set by your tongue. It's set by your tongue. The course. Say the course. Years back, we used to go to this place. Marilyn used to take us to this place, and it was really cool because they had this lazy river. They called it the Lazy River, and the Lazy River had, it was a whirlpool that all went a certain way, so you got on these rafts, and you just relaxed, and you just coasted around the Lazy River. So great. But let me tell you what, I knew which way I was going to go every time. You know why? Because there was a set course of how that lazy river went. And it would come around to the same spot, and then it would go the same way. It would always turn right, and then left, and then go around, and all the time, same way. Why? Because that's how the course was set. I want you to start examining that maybe, I mean facetious, maybe you're in a position you're at because you have set that course. And it's really helpful to understand who's doing it, because the Bible says death, here's a good point, and life is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. How many love to talk? Come on. Be honest. I mean, we all love to talk. Everybody loves to talk. Even shy people like to talk. And so that goes, and you're setting, you set that, death and life. Here's the good news. The good news is we've just got to recognize what's going on. Amen. How many ever gone to a mechanic, and you go to the mechanic, and it's like, man, I don't know, you know, and the mechanic, you know what, something's going on, and you come in, and you're like, man, my car, every time it does this, and he'll try to, it's like, it's not doing that now. You're like, you know what, it was every single day, and finally the day I come here, it doesn't, it's not good, it's good. The mechanic says, what does he say? He says, come back when it's like that, because I can't fix it until I know what the problem is. Look at your neighbor, say, now you know the problem. See, how many know, and listen, it's set, and it is set on fire by hell. What does that mean? That means that how many know the demonic realm is real? People can deny it all you want, but there is this fanning the flame. How many, raise your hand if you're a Christian, okay? How many know gossiping about somebody, how many of you speaking negative about somebody else is not Christian? Okay, how many ever, come on, be honest, how many ever talked about somebody else after you were saved? Raise your hand if you're, talk, come on! Okay. Why'd you do that? Here's why. Because there is someone, come on, you know, and there's somebody fanning the flame to say, go ahead, just talk. I cannot tell you, and if you haven't learned this, learn this. I cannot have to tell you. I will be in mid-sentence, and I will. And I'm not saying that's come overnight, but I'm saying I will start to talk. And usually I'm going to talk to my wife about that person. And I'll say, and the Holy Spirit will just say, shut up. Can I tell you what? You can shut up if you want to shut up. Amen. This is good preaching today. You can. Why do you keep on going that way? Because you want to go that way. Because there's somebody fanning that flame, and you're like, oh yeah. And they're like this, and they did this. You know, they did it. They did this. And you get all worked up, and you know, and you think you're justified. And the whole time, God's like, you. Oh yeah, that's not how I designed you. I didn't design you to talk about other people. That's not your position to judge them. No, I know they did, and we go way over the top. I know why they did it. You don't know why they did it. That's like you know what, you flipping somebody off on the freeway because you know, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Can I make one point? I'm just making a point. You know how the Bible says when you lust, even you know what, you commit adultery. Some of you are flipping people off in your minds, amen. Oh, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. And you think you're sanctified because you're like. Come on, come on. There's a higher place for us today. Come on, there's a higher place for us today. Can you say amen? And there's a higher place that as Satan is fanning that flame to gossip and to really curse, we're going to look at it in a minute, to curse out of the person, there's a higher place that, because let me tell you what, Satan is fanning that flame, but the Holy Spirit is also saying, as the Holy Spirit's to me and say, just shut up, just stop talking. You don't have to go, you don't have to talk. Yeah, but it's true. I know, but maybe that person doesn't need another brick on that stronghold. Maybe I should be taking those bricks off. Maybe I should call the things that are not as though they were. Maybe I should be a blessing, not a cursing. Are you learning something today? Look at this next verse. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creation of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. See, Pastor, right there. No man. See, it's not my fault. I can't do it. Okay, if I'm just asking, if that verse is giving you justification that you can't do it, then why later on is James going to say, you know what? With your mouth, you curse men, and with your mouth, you bless God. You know what? This ought not to be that way. Can I tell you about God? God isn't some crazy man who says, oh, here, do this, but you can't do it. Build this building, but I'm not going to give you any wood. God doesn't set us up for failure. How many know the Holy Spirit empowers us to do things that we can't do by ourselves? All James is saying is recognize to get over this hump. You're going to have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's all he's saying. Next verse. With it we bless God, our Father, with what? With our words, with our tongue, with the thing that is, watch this, with the thing that is small, but it's going to direct just like the horse's bit. That's what he's saying. Just like that rudder. Very small, but makes a huge difference. We bless God. We just sang some worship songs. You all bless God. Sounded so beautiful. But what's important is that this next week, that with the same thing, what song did we sing today? What? Reckless Love. How does that go? Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Okay. With that tongue that you did sounded beautiful, by the way, on Sunday. That tongue on Tuesday, watch this, when your boss does something wrong that you judged as whatever, that's not the time that you be different. Why? Watch this. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. That means God made that person. You know what? In a likeness of God. Wow. And he's not perfect, but neither are you. But you are a Christian. And so what I expect you to do is use your words to bless that person. Does that make sense? Is he an imperfect person? Yeah, of course. We're talking about your boss or your friends or your neighbors or or people even in your family. So what should I do if they need help? Come on up here. Get down right here. Like all the way down on the ground. Like you fell. Okay? Okay. So he fell. What should I do? Listen, this is somebody, they don't even know Christ. So what should I do? Should I help him up? You know what? Should I bless him? You know what? Or should I, you know what? Should I? You said, Pastor, how dare you do that to Joaquin? Can I be honest with you? Stuff that it goes out of our mouth is a lot worse than this silly example. You there's no weight on your Harley, right? Okay. But how many know, you know what? Okay. Should I do that or should I help him up? See, listen. And here's what I want you to know. Listen. Your boss ain't on the ground. See, listen to me. This is so important. Many of us, if our boss was on the ground, we see it. We're not going to step on our boss. We at least have the decency to help him up. Can I tell you what? Can we speak a blessing to our boss? Can we see? Can our bosses, and I don't know, it could be your boss, it could be your neighbor, it could even be your spouse, it could be somebody in your family, it could be an old friend, I don't know. But could we have the integrity and the spiritual insight and intelligence to recognize that we can change some people's lives?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that our boss probably doesn't have anybody speaking the word of God over him.
Right.
So you have all these people convincing him. I mean, you know, sometimes bosses, it seemed like in the grocery store, it seemed in the grocery store that the most insecure people gravitated to management. If you're a manager, I'm not causing you, I'm just not saying you're immature. I'm just saying it's something I noticed. That many times in the grocery store, it was the most insecure people that wanted the keys, wanted to be in charge, wanted to, you know what I mean? And how many know this guy, if he's that guy, his friends know it. His friends aren't telling him what a great guy is. His friends are telling him what an idiot he is. Yeah. And his family, and many of this times this behind his back.
Yeah.
And then you come into his life, and God intends for you to, watch this, to pull him up. You got to go back in there. Not use another part of your ability. Because let me tell you what, how we really are helping people isn't with our hands. It's with our mouth. From the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
And so what happens, there's this, you know, the Bible tells us we're not supposed to judge anyone. We're not the judge. We're not the condemners. God is going to be, God is a righteous judge. You know what, what does it say? Something is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith, vengeance isn't yours. If God decides that someone deserves something, that's his role. That's not your role. Your role, according to James, is to use your words to, because again, the most of the time you're not gonna go, you know, most of the time you're not gonna be walking to work, oh, my boss, he's on the ground, I'm gonna help him up. That's not the issue. The issue is he's got all kinds of insecurities, all kinds of people are saying junk about him. Just, you know what? Just junk. Just trash. You know what I mean? You know, just, man, his ears are out like this, or you know what? He's balding, or he's getting fat, or all this. Hey, this is real stuff. That is problems that he's having in his life. You think that doesn't make any difference? You think you can't look at your boss and say, actually, you're looking pretty good today, Bucky. Man, that shirt looks good on you. Man, I like, have you lost some weight? I'm not just saying you're saying stuff, just, you know, and don't just make stuff up. But I'm saying these things, these are the things. Your boss ain't going to be down on the ground tomorrow. Can we help our boss up? Go back to him. Go back. You know, can we help our neighbor up? Okay. You're going to get a workout today. Can me too. You know, can we help our friends up? And thank you. Thank you. Give him a hand. And listen, we're not doing that with our, we're not doing that. They're not on the ground. But they feel like they're on the ground. And imagine if all these people just in this room alone, tomorrow with their mouth, imagine this. Imagine a church that we came to hear the message from God. That we actually believed that God had a message for us today. And the message was, with all the praise that took forth today, that we would use our, that with our mouth, we would bless God. And we would bless men. See, what could we accomplish as a church? What could we accomplish this week if with our same, never ending. Is there another song that I know better than this song? Okay. But I'm just teasing you. But with the same worship that we worship God on Sunday, with the same, see, and James is saying, hey guys, that's how you ought to be on Monday when you won't go into work. That's how you ought to be on Tuesday when you come home, and you know what, and they're not. That's not what's happening. So that's what's going on. Can we use our mouth to not declare what is, but to make changes of what we want to be? Look at this. I think we have another. Go to the next verse. Go to 10. With the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Okay. Number one, you know what? And listen, and it's true in your life. I mean, that you can, because many times you're speaking trash all over the place, and that just goes also into your life, where you start saying, I can't ever lose weight. You know, I'll never get out of debt. I'll never have a nice car. I'll never own a home. You know how many people, listen to me, somebody. You know how many people, you know what, just in this congregation might never have a home in Southern California? Why? Well, I had to tell you why. Because you know what? See, Pastor, you're different because you bought your home in blah, blah, blah. Now it's so hard because homes are this much. You know how many people say that? And see, what I'm asking you to do is, wait a minute. Why don't you start blessing your life instead of cursing your life? But you don't know, Pastor, how much homes are, they're so expensive now. Are you kidding me? Nobody can afford a home anymore. Well, speak that to you. Speak that to me. Don't speak that over me. See, and there's all kinds of things. This happens all the time. Something feels wrong in your body. You're like, oh, my grandpa had that. I bet you I got that. Then you go into the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, yep. Listen, where the doctor, what does the doctor ask you first? First thing. I'm so smart. I'm so smart. Fill this out. Fill that out. Fill that out. Listen, this is a stronghold. You know what? Babylon system that we have to say. You know what? I ought to. You know. When I get those things, I just check them all. You know what? Oh yeah. Never had that. I'm not even looking at whether I had it or not. The answer, my parents had. The answer is no. Amen. You wanted to know the answer? The answer is no. Here, no, I won't even do all the checks. No to all of it. Why? Because I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The association I'm making is, listen, I got hit. Before I got born again, fine, look it over, figure it out. But I'm born again. How many are born again? Listen, what do you think that was? That was real, amen? And so now you're identifying with something different. Stop identifying with the seed of carnality. How many are born again? Well, if you're born again, then you have a covenant of healing. And as long as you keep on associate, watch this, you keep on making this association with sickness and disease and the sickness and disease of your parents and your grandparents. Because they'll ask, well, yeah, but what about, wait a minute, what about your great-grandparents? Did you see great-grandparents? All their trash too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. And next thing you know, they're going to look at it and they're going to figure it out. And they're going to figure out, okay, you have this. Oh, there's power in the words. This is what you have. Oh, and then you go home. Listen, you couldn't even pronounce what you have.
Right.
4 hours ago, you couldn't even pronounce what you have. And now you're on the phone telling all your friends what you have.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Yeah, but that's real. Let God be true and every man a liar. See, that's what my Bible says. Jesus went around doing good, did he not? And he saw all kinds of sick people. Can I tell you what he never said of those sick people? Somebody say never.
Never,
never said this. Oh my goodness. It's obvious. Obvious you have leprosy. You know what I mean? I'm looking, you don't even, one ear isn't even on there. Obviously. Bad case of leprosy. There's nothing that I can do. Never said that. Never said that. You know why? Because he's never identifying with that. Mm-hmm. And the man, watch this, and the man, one of the only times in the Bible that God, Jesus, is like amazed. Two times in the Bible that Jesus says he's amazed. But you know what one of those times was? It's when the man, watch this, the man goes to him and says, hey, you know what? Somebody is sick at my home. And that man says, Jesus, you don't need to go any farther. Just speak a word. All you have to do is speak a word, and he'll be healed. And the Bible says when he got home, he asked his servants, hey, when did this guy get healed? And they said, oh, about this time. And he said, oh, that was the very hour that I spoke to Jesus. Just speak a word. Are you learning something today?
Yes.
We think this is no big deal. No, no, no. It's a big deal to curse our friends. It's a big deal to curse our bosses. It's a big deal to curse our marriages. One time I golf once a year now, but you know what? We do a teen challenge fundraiser, and you know what? And I golf once a year. But I used to golf every once in a while. Before I had kids, I used to golf every once in a while. And I went with my friend. I went golfing. He was on vacation. Actually, the kids were little. We went down, spent a day with them. He said, hey, let's go golfing. We went golfing. And so it was me and my buddy. Well, there was two other guys ready to golf. And sometimes they'll pair you up. So they said, hey, there's another two guys there. And so, boom, we went with these guys. Boom, we tee off. For 18 holes, all I heard is about how awful these two men's wives were. Hole one, hole two, hole three, hole four. They just complained and complained and complained and complained and complained about their wife. I mean, what do you think happens after a period of time that you just keep on complaining about your wife, about your husband, about your job, about whatever situation you're in. And watch this. And it just, watch this. And the whole thing just cycles in a downward cycle.
Yeah.
Why? Here's why. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know what the Bible says? By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be, who can finish this for me? You're going to be condemned. See, there's this condemnation that you're living, and God says, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And many people, they just make light of it. They just, it's, you know what, and matter of fact, there's even, nowadays, a backlash to this. Amen. They make fun of this. They call it, you know, that group, you know, that they just proclaim, grab it and blab it. Blab it and grab it. All this negative talk about, you know what, making fun, like this isn't out of the Word of God. Let me tell you what, this is in the Word of God. This is throughout the Word of God. Are you learning something today? Yeah. And you do it to your friends and your neighbors, but many times your loved ones, the very ones that you love, you need to start to bless them. Yes, are there areas in their life that need to be improvement? Yes, yes. I'm not saying that you're married to the perfect person. I'm not saying that your sons are perfect or your daughters are perfect or your grandsons are perfect. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. See, there needs to be this change in our life. Are you learning something? Second thing, don't resist God. Don't resist God. Matthew chapter 11. Guys, you got in the back? Or Mark chapter 11. And look at verse 21. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the tree which you cursed is withered away. What did Jesus say the day before? Jesus did something to the tree. What did he do? Come on, you're all here. What did he do? Here, I'll give you a hint. What did he do? He cursed it. He went up to get this fruit, and there wasn't fruit on the tree, and he cursed it. He said, no longer will anyone eat fruit of this tree. Well, the next day, you know what? Peter is like, whoa, because he sees the tree is withered. Watch this. Then look what Jesus says. Next verse. Look what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now stop here. Because I'm about to tell you something that is going to be so unbelievable that I'm telling you, hey, have faith in me. Because what I'm saying is absolutely true. See, that's where people get off. Yeah. They can come up with their own theology. Because you know what? You know why? Because it makes no sense to them. This is a wonderful game. It was one of my wife's favorite games to play when she was little. It's called Kerplunk. And you put these, next service I need to have something flat. But you put these little balls on here. And the trick is that the balls won't fall down. See, here's the problem. We say things, you hear a sermon like this, and you think, man, that's absolutely true. I'm going to change my life. And there's a promotion at work, and you start saying, man, I'm going to get that promotion. I'm going to get that promotion. I'm going to be one. I'm going to get that promotion. Right. I'm going to get that promotion. 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 Amen. And you don't get that promotion. And then you say, you know what? No. I'm going to get that promotion. And I don't get the promotion. And then you say, you know what? I'm going to lose some weight. And you don't lose some weight. And then you come back and think, see, that doesn't work. Well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good. See, here's what I want to say. That what happens in the course of time, if you will not grow weary in doing good, if you will not grow weary in doing good, did you see that ball fall? If you will not grow weary, if you continue to talk about, you know what, you getting back into shape, you getting that promotion. See, there, thank you. And listen to me, and there will be a kerplunk in your life. But many times, here's the problem. We try something for 3 weeks, and then, watch this, and then we go back to God and say, oh, what you say doesn't work. And the Bible says, Jesus says to you, hey, have faith in God.
That's right, come on.
Because let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. Watch this, next verse. Let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says, it will be done. He will have whatever he thinks, whatever he what? Whatever he says. Now, you could call that bad theology, but I call that good theology. You know why I call that good theology? Because that's Jesus theology. And there is no better theology than Jesus theology. Amen? You can think whatever you want. See, what is this? This is our manual. You know what? You went out and you bought a Ford or you bought a Chevy. And in that manual, it tells you, put gasoline in here. Put the oil in here. You can think, that ain't, I don't care what that manual says. I'm going to do how I want to do it. And, you know, I'm tired of, you know, I eat gas. And you know how much gas is nowadays? I'm tired of putting gas in there. You know what? I'm gonna put lemonade. I can buy lemonade cheaper. Amen. And I like lemonade. I'm putting lemonade. It's way cheaper. I'm gonna put lemonade in. You know what? And I like chocolate milk. Chocolate milk is cheaper than oil. And I'm putting chocolate milk where the oil goes. I'm putting lemonade where it's fine for me. It's fine for that car. See, here's what happens. The Bible says that the word of God is foolishness to the wise. And there's a bunch of people who come into even church. There's a bunch of pastors. There's a bunch of Christians on the radio who think what I'm teaching is foolishness. Well, okay, you keep on putting lemonade in your car, and you keep on putting chocolate milk in your, you know what, in where the oil goes. But I'm telling you what, the one who runs, the one who made you says this. Jesus says, hey, have faith in me. Stop coming up with your own theology. Stop deviating in what I said and just be assured that if you will just rock steady, that you can even, just like I spoke to that fig tree. How many know nobody was more efficient? Listen to me here. Nobody was more efficient in bringing the kingdom of God on this earth than Jesus was. And so many times we look at Jesus as our example and we think, oh man, no. You got this. When we, my first experience in raising money in this church, we didn't have a lot of people. We were trying to raise money to buy these chairs. And my first experience, I said, hey, we need to get rid of these pews. It's going to cost us a lot because we have to reupholster them. And as long as we're reupholstering them, why don't we buy chairs? It'll be like reupholstering the pews. And now we can stack the chairs. We can't stack the pews. So our sanctuary becomes a multi-purpose room. We can do all kinds of different events if we just get chairs and we need to reupholster the pews anyway. Let's, it costs about $20,000. And in about 4 months, we raise $400. How many know at this rate, I'm going to be very, very old before we have any chairs? And I felt, listen to me, I felt hopeless. Some of you have gotten a hold of this and you started to say some things in your life. You started to say, you know what, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm going to continue to proclaim that. But other naysayers talked to you and said, are you crazy? Did you not hear what the doctor said about your ailment? And what do they call it when it can't get any better? Did you not hear the doctor? He went to medical school. He said it's terminal. He said. Did you not see the X-ray? Could you not see? It was bone on bone. I mean, with God, all things are possible. But you allowed your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your neighbor, you allowed someone to talk you out. Not many wise, not many noble. All the wise, noble people, God can't use them. Surely I say to you, whoever says the mountain be removed, cast in the sea, and does not down his heart, but believes that the things are, he will have whatever he says. And Tamara and I, and the Holy Spirit starts speaking to us and remind us of this scripture. And every time we went in the North Sanctuary, every time we walked through, pew after pew, we used to say, God, thank you for the chairs. 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 God, thank you for chairs. Don't have time to tell this story. In 2 months, we had $20,000 to buy the chairs you are sitting in. Amen. You are sitting in. So fast forward, we wanted to put some benches out, put some electrical out, make this place more a show place where you could sit down and relax, put some concrete. How much stuff is expensive? It was going to cost us about $10,000 just to do those simple, thing. And we were going to make what we called Hope Park. Many of you, Wednesday, you enjoy Hope Park, do you not? And we were gonna do that. And I remember Chanel used to go up there. We had this thermostat we had that thermostat and it was thermostat to $10,000. Well, when we started off, we had like $200. You know what I mean? And so it hardly had any red. And I remember, the next week we only had like $250. Watch this. And I thought, oh my goodness. How many know sometimes we forget the victories in our life? Yeah. And we remember the defeats. Yeah. And even though we had that victory, I remembered? I remembered the $400 that we had and how little money came in. You say, Pastor, that wasn't a man of faith. I know. How many know sometimes I'm going to tell you the bad stories just like the good stories? But then the next month, we'd keep on going up there and say, hey, please give. It's going to make a difference. It's going to be awesome. The next month, we looked, and we had $1,000. And then the next month or 2 months later, we had $2,000. And then we had $3,000. And then we had $4,000. And then we had $5,000. And I remember Chanel used to get up there and say, hey, we got this. Yeah. Let's say that together. We got this. And there was something, watch this. There was something about the power of her words. And pretty soon, guess what I started saying? I started saying, hey, we got this. Okay. And sure enough, you know what? We raised the $10,000. We did the repairs out there. We fixed it up. You say, Pastor, what's your point? Here's the point. Years later, when I found out it was going to cost about $120,000 to do this, I start saying, before we had a dollar, I start saying, we got this. And let me tell you, it wasn't $120,000. It was about $180,000 by the time we got the lights and the sound system. $180,000. Well, how did you do this? I said, no, we got this. Years later, we're looking at the outside design. John and Al does the analysis. Say, without the sound, without the audio and visual, it's going to be about $330,000. Guess what I said? I said, we got this. See, I learned. Your pastor, but we don't have that. Oh, you say what you say. I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
Amen.
See, you know, watch. No, we got this. See, the same we got this that had nothing, guess what? Now we have almost $170,000. Well, how many know that's a good start? What am I saying? All I'm saying is, let me just close by this. Where are you at in your life? What do you want in your life? Pastor, there's no good, there's no righteous man anymore. They're all idiots. Oh, there, I'm already 38 years old. There's nobody. I gotta settle for this loser. Okay. Well, you know, really? Why don't you say this? Why don't you say, you know what? I'm a princess, and I'm gonna get a prince. And listen, and I don't care. That prince is coming. And you know what? And I'm not going to settle for a toad. Listen, ladies, you can settle for a toad. How are you going to settle for a toad? Here's how you're going to settle. You're going to be convinced. You're going to lose your faith in God. Hey, God says to you, is my arm short? That's what he said. Is my arm short? You think I can't provide for you? That's what the Israelites did. They were blessed. They were called to a land flowing with milk and honey. But they kept on thinking, God won't do it. God can't do it. They kept on saying over and over and over. And God says this, you know what? You have tested me. Every time they're testing him, cursing God and cursing their lives. And finally God says, fine, you know what? I promised it to you, but you know what? I can't give it to you. I'll have to give it to your kids because of your continuing cursing who you are. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, we're going to do two things very quickly. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, I want you to raise your hand. I want to give you that opportunity. Does anybody want to accept Jesus? Yes, thank you. Who else? Yes, you can put your hand down. Thank you. Say with this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I need help. I'm sorry. I repent for all my junk. Help me in Jesus' name. Now, one more thing. One more thing that's really important. If you look at your life and say, man, Pastor, I've just talk too much trash. It's important that we not just hear a message from God, but we react to a message from God. And you need help from God because it's become a habit. You just talk junk all the time. And you say, no, I don't want to live that life anymore. I want you to raise your hands. I want to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Oh, hands up all over the place. Father, we are here not to just hear another message. We're here to allow you to speak to us. Help us to be blessers. Say, I want to be a blesser. Say, I am a blesser. Say, I am a blesser. See, you're good. You're doing good already. Say, I'm a blesser. I am going to bless people this week. And I'm going to bless people next week. It is going to become who I become. Today. I'm going to start. In his name I pray, amen. Amen. Did you learn something today?